your family of faith hearing this testimony that I started just telling them I was going to share it myself. Amen. Do you mind coming up here? It'll be easier because I want everybody online to see it. God is within her. She will not fall. Amen. It says fall, but fail or fall either way. Amen. Praise God. Tell people what God's doing in your life, sister.
What's up, everybody? Good morning. Good morning. So before I even say anything, I just want to, whatever I say, I'm going to allow the Holy Spirit to go before me. So hopefully there's something that I say today that will penetrate just one person's heart. Amen. And that's what's important, penetrating your heart. Anybody ever been involved with the court system? All right. Foundry people, where you at? Okay. So you know that in the court system, there's always a fine and there's always, you know, fees and lawyer fees and all these kind of things. Well, about 10 years ago, I got into a little bit of trouble, just a little bit. I got two trafficking charges, which came with a $50,000 fine for each one of them. And at the same time, I also got a possession charge, which was a $10,000 fine. You don't have to be good at math to know what that comes up to, $110,000, which is a debt that would be hanging over my head for the rest of my life. It would die with me. That debt would die with me. But I was faithful. I did what they told me to do. I paid my $50 every month, and I felt like that I was dropping a cup of water into the ocean. Like it wasn't making a difference. But I remained faithful to what the court system told me to do. And so every month I'd send in my little $50 and they send me my receipt back. Send in my $50, send my little receipt back. Well, so about 6 months ago I applied for a pardon, and my pardon specialist, she said, you've got a lot of fines, Heather, and I'm not going to speak negatively about your situation, but it's going to be really hard to get a pardon with owing $96,000, because that's what I still owed. And I was like, well, that's okay. You know, I serve a God who can clear anything.
Come on, sister.
And I serve a God who numbers aren't nothing but a thing. He made numbers. You know what I'm saying? So, like, I was like, well, let's just do it. Let's just do it. Pastor Mark was he was a good man. He's a faithful man. He wrote me a wonderful letter along with some other letters to the pardon board. And the lady was like, sweet lady. She said, Heather, it's just, I've never seen it happen, you know, with your fines that high and even getting considered for a pardon. I said, it's okay. Let's just send it on in. I serve a God who can overcome a pardon board. So I was sitting in a meeting about a month ago at work, and I saw Bessemer PO calling. You know, when your PO calls, you better pick up. So I ran out, and she was like, I wanted to call you this morning when I got to work at 6:30, but you're never going to believe what happened. And I could tell by the excitement in her voice that something good was about to come out of her mouth for my life. But I never expected what she was about to say. She said, your judge has cleared all $96,000. And court costs and fines, fees, everything. I got the papers to prove it. You know, if it ain't documented, it didn't happen. Maybe it's documented right here. You know, so I've just been floating on cloud nine since then. And it reminds me of in 2 Kings where the widower and the oil. You know, she had just enough oil for her family. She had just enough oil. I just had $50 to send them every month. But, you know, God said, you give me your natural, which is your $50, and I'll turn it into supernatural. That's what he said. That's what he can do. He's a supernatural God.
Yes, he is.
He is a supernatural God. And so I have the papers. I have the... And let me tell you what else they did. Hold on. When's the last time that a court system has sent you money back? It don't happen. They sent me back my last payment. So what I want to do is take my little $50, which is very natural, and I want to sign it over to the church, because that money can plant seeds that'll spread like wildfire all over the world. And that's what it's all about. So I just want to thank you for letting me share this.
Excited about it.
I feel like, oh, this is something the Holy Spirit told me to say this to. Okay. So you remember when we were kids? Now, y'all just bear with me. Okay, so when we were kids, we'd be out on the playground playing, and one of the little boys would come up, and he would say, I'll show you mine if you show me yours. Y'all remember that? Well, God said, if you show me your faith, I will show you my favor. And that's what the Holy Spirit whispered in my ear just as soon as I opened this up and I saw all that. Be faithful. Just do the next right thing. And like Pastor Mark says, good things are coming. When I texted him and told him, I said, oh, Pastor Mark, good things have come. Good things have happened. So I'm going to sign this check over to you. And my debt is clear, just like Jesus cleared our debt on the cross. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Pastor Mark.
Just say $96,000 one more time.
$96,000! $96,000 more reasons for me to keep moving forward. That's a big number, y'all. You know, but it ain't too big for God. He's just like, boop, that's it. That's all he did. He went boop, boop. And he can boop anything in your life if you're faithful. All right. Thank you, Pastor Mark. Love you, Pastor Mark. Love you, God.
Ooh, thank you, Father. One of the first times I met Heather, sometimes I'll meet people and the Lord will speak things to me. And one of the first times I met her is he said, she's a leader. She's a leader. Amen. And her leadership has been phenomenal. And, you know, if you knew all the people that she helps and ways that she serves and, young people, homeless people, people that other folks have, turned their backs on. Amen. Heather, get down in the dirt with them and help them get up out of that. And, I have, had the privilege of a front row seat to God transforming her life. Man, there are some times during class at the Foundry Sister when you stood up and said some things that I've told Pam, even there's things that I wish I had on video, to just play for other people, some of the most profound things. It's one thing for a teacher in a class at the Foundry to say it. It's another thing for somebody who, at that time, she was a resident at the Foundry. I know you don't mind me saying that. And just the wisdom of God and, you know, how it captured the hearts of those, men and women. And so we're thankful for you, sister. And here's the thing. All right. There's lots of reasons for a testimony, but the Bible says that a testimony has the spirit of prophecy on it. What does that mean? It means when somebody testifies to something God's done in their life, it makes, first of all, it should activate the faith within you to believe God to do something similar, in your life. And so that's when it talks about the spirit of prophecy. In other words, God doing more things just like that for other people as time unfolds. Amen. Amen. And so, man, I'm struggling with this next part, but the Lord just keeps prompting me and I keep trying to avoid it. All right. But, if you're here this morning and, the Lord's like, yes, Jesus. And listen, you don't have to do this. All right. But if you're here this morning and you have some significant debt, in your life that you're wanting to see the Lord take care of, just like he took care of our sisters, I want you to stand. You got to own it if you can disown it. You got to own it if you disown it. Anybody say, Pastor Mark, I got some significant debt that I want to see eliminated in my life. Amen. Come on now. Come on now. Amen. Snooze, you lose. Amen. Praise God. All right. Father, it took a lot of courage and a lot of humility for these men and women to stand. Those online, if you're watching from home, you know, get out of your recliner if you can. Amen. If that's you, I don't know why the Lord said he prompted me to have you stand. Amen. To have you stand. Praise God. All right. All right. Okay. Now, Father, you see everybody that's standing. People may be standing in another state, another country, right now, Father. But Lord, you know their situation and you are a debt canceling God. You supernaturally cancel debt. And so, Father, I ask you now for those that had the faith and the courage and the humility to stand. Father, humble people get grace. And so, Father, I thank you this morning for working supernaturally behind the scenes for these men and women. And, Father, I believe that we're going to have an avalanche of testimonies like Heather's. Father, people testifying of how you supernaturally help them overcome financial debt in their lives. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen, and amen. All right, praise God. Let's do this. I'm in one of those wish we could all just sit around a table with a cup of coffee and talk this morning. I've got a lot of things in my notes, but I'm not here for tell you a lot of things. I'm here to tell you the things that Father God specifically wants us to look at this morning. And on Wednesday evening, we have been talking about listening. In Isaiah 55, 1 and 2, the Bible says, listen carefully to me and eat what is good, so that your soul, or let your soul, so that your soul can delight itself in abundance. Delight itself in abundance. And we, of course, begin to talk about what it means for your soul to delight itself in abundance. And after about a sermon or two on that part of the verse, the Lord really prompted me. He said, you got to start with the listening carefully part. You've got to start with the listening carefully part, because you will never, your soul will never delight itself in abundance unless and until you first learn to listen carefully to the Lord. Listen carefully to the Lord. Now, Jesus had a lot to say about listening. And I'm not trying to re-preach Wednesday's sermon, but I even said this to the group that were here, that was here attending on Wednesday night, is that this subject is running parallel and in some ways even intersecting what we've been talking about while we're together on Sunday mornings. And on Sunday mornings, we've been talking about the importance of our understanding, and how we understand things is how we see things, and how we see things is how we respond to things, and how we respond to things determines the reality that we live in. Life is choice driven. You had a choice to come this morning or stay in bed. Are you following me? And I hope you're glad. If we prayed and went home right now after worshiping the Lord and hearing this great testimony, this miracle in God, you know, Matt asked a question, I think inspired by the Holy Spirit a few months back. You know, we hear a lot of old stories about what God has done in people's lives, you know, years ago, decades ago, centuries ago, whatever. He said, where are some new stories? Well, here's a new story. Here's a new story. When you talk about someone who is a pardon and parole specialist that has probably walked thousands of people through the process of getting the state of Alabama to issue you a pardon, okay? And she says, I've never seen it. Okay? Now, she could have said, oh, well, then let me send them $50 more for 20 more years and then we'll try again. Are you following what I'm saying? No. What does she say? Well, let's just send it in. Let's, the Bible says, cast your bread on the water. Faith without works is dead. See, again, I'm trying to, understanding is how you look at things. And if you heard Heather talk this morning, how she looked at it was, this isn't too big for God. Is anything too hard for God? You know, people may do, God's bigger than the pardon and parole board. God's bigger than the governor. God's bigger than the president. Okay, but she could have said, oh man, I was hoping that, you know, they'd maybe at least take an exit. No, you see, but that's understanding. It's how she responded. It's how she responded, right? Faith, put it out there. Amen. All right. So when we talk about listening and listening carefully, Jesus had a lot to say about that. And one of the things that we see both in the Old and New Testament is this phrase, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. He who has eyes to see, let him see. Eyes to see, ears to hear, and what? A heart to understand. See, understanding comes from the heart. When we talk about how we understand things, Paul said when he understood like a child, he lived like a child. You can't live like an adult if you understand like a child. If you understand like a child, it means you think like a child. If you think like a child, you see things like a child. If you see things like a child, you're going to respond to things like a child. So Jesus came to transform our understanding, which, by the way, requires us listening carefully to him. But when Jesus says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. He who has eyes to see, let him see. He wasn't just talking about people who have physical eyesight or physical hearing, because the level of hearing that Jesus is talking about, the level of seeing that Jesus is talking about, has a lot more to do with light entering the optic nerve or sound waves entering in to the ear and being directed to the brain for processing. He's talking about hearing inwardly. That's why we always, or just about every time you see eyes to see, ears to hear, we see a heart to understand connected with that. Now, what is the difference between an eye to see and an eye that doesn't see? Or an ear that hears and an ear that doesn't hear? It's the attitude of the heart when seeing or looking and when listening or hearing. And what we see, listen very carefully, and I'm getting back around to you and me this morning, okay? What we see in the scriptures is that there were all kinds of people who wanted to see Jesus do things. Show us a sign, show us a sign, show us a sign, show us a sign. And all kinds of people who heard what Jesus said out of curiosity, out of because he was trending, Jesus was going viral. That's how we would say it in our modern day vernacular. Jesus was a big deal. To people who didn't even know anything about him because he was attracting large crowds and people wanted to see what was going on and they went to listen to him. They were curious about what he had to say. Are you following what I'm saying? All right. And so, but here's the key difference between, ears to hear and ears that hear but don't hear. Eyes that see but don't see. What's the difference here? It's the attitude of the heart that says, I'm just hearing for the sake of hearing it. I'm just seeing for the sake of seeing it. Or an ear that truly hears is an ear that says, I want to hear something this morning that will change the way I see things, change the way I do things, and ultimately change the way I live. A listening ear doesn't come to church to just hear a sermon. Are you following me? It's the attitude of the heart that says, bless God, you're going to say something to me today by the Holy Spirit, either through the pastor or through a testimony, Sister Heather, or through someone who greets me in the hallway, amen, or Brother Donald's biscuit crew in the kitchen. And in other words, I'm going to hear something today that's going to be an answer I've been looking for my whole life that I'm going to be able to apply to my life and see a change in my children, see a change in my finances, see a change in the way I look at my spouse, see a change in the way I speak to my employees. Are you following me? That's an ear to hear. An ear to hear is an ear that says, God, you want to speak to me because you want to renew my mind and change my life reality. Not just coming to hear some cute sermon from Pastor Mark. Not just coming to hope he keeps it interesting and brief. So we can get on to what we really are looking forward to today, lunch. I'm convicted about this as much as listen to me now. Again, you know, I listen to a lot of sermons. I listen to a lot of sermons. Keith Moore, Bill Winston, Rick Renner, these are, you know well, that they're some of my favorite Bible teachers and preachers on planet Earth, all right? But what attitude do I have when I listen to these men? I'm not bragging when I say this, but when all is said and done today and I get in my truck and head home, I'll click on my iPhone and I will listen to the sermon that Brother Keith Moore gave to his congregations. Has two. Branson, Missouri, Sarasota, Florida. Amen. Because I need to be fed just like you need to be fed, and certainly the Lord feeds me through him. Are you following me? Okay. But again, if you listen much to his teaching, you know that he brings correction and he's not ashamed to do it. So am I listening to see if there's something that I've missed that I need to see and not... You follow me? Not listening to just because he's a good teacher and I like to hear him. No. I'm a hearing ear says, Father, show me something. Let this man speak to me, or let this man say something that then the Holy Spirit will speak to me and show me something that I need to do different, something that I need to change, where there's an error in my thinking, where there's an error in the way I look at things. Amen. The Message translation says, if you don't have that attitude in your heart, you can stare until doomsday and you'll never see it. You can listen until the speaker's blue in the face and never hear what they're saying. Never really hear it. Again, sound waves coming out of my mouth into your ears, that's hearing. But hearing with the ear and the brain, but it never penetrating to the inward man and transforming our understanding, transforming the way we see things, that just keeps coming back over and over again. Understanding doesn't just mean, okay, I understand that. No, true biblical understanding means how you see things has changed. It's You're seeing things in a different light, and the light that we're now seeing them in is the light of God's truth, the way things truly are. And I've said some form or fashion of this many times, and I'm gonna say it again this morning. If growth is gonna happen in your life, it's gonna happen there, or it's not gonna happen at all. If breakthrough is gonna happen in your life, it's gonna happen there, or it's not gonna happen at all. Now, I'm not talking about flashes. You know, God's mercy and grace and all these other things that He works behind the scenes and does for us just because He loves us. Are you following me? And that's beautiful. Don't misunderstand me. That's beautiful. And we're thankful for those things. But what Father's ultimately wanting to do is bring us into a lifestyle, a kingdom lifestyle. I like to say it this way. You know, you crash your life into a ditch, cry out to God, He'll get you out of the ditch. Crash your life a few months, a few weeks, a few years later, whatever, in the ditch, cry out to God, He'll get you out of the ditch. Okay? But God constantly bailing you out is not His plan for your life. His plan for your life is for you to walk with Him and become an agent in bailing other people out and helping other people out of the ditch. To bring some stability to your life. To bring enough understanding of His kingdom into your life where you also will be like Jesus, the owner of a general store who can put His hand on anything that anybody needs anytime they need it. Amen. Amen. Are you seeing this? And we have a word for that in the body of Christ. It's called growth, where we're growing. Because remember, the key to lasting change is growth. The key to lasting change is growth. And we are growing up into Jesus, amen, in all things. Are you with me still? All right, now, I also feel compelled. Let me give me a sip of water here. Matthew mentioned it. It just confirmed what was in my heart. And I know some of you, again, you've heard me say these things over and over and over again. But sound waves coming out of my vocal cords in my throat into your ear canal and your brain, we need to hear this on a much deeper level. What do you mean by that? A level that will motivate you. Just hearing with the physical ear and receiving it into the physical brain is a step in the right direction, but it's not enough. Unless and until it sparks something inside of you to go after something better or different. And so this is what Jesus said, and it is the bedrock, if you will, or the discipleship process, if you will, at the heart of this. Even the word from which we get disciple is found in this, and it's in Matthew 11 where Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden." And what did He say? He said, "I will give you rest." That simple English word, R-E-S-T, in an interesting way. I'm not going to have time to explain all that, but it in essence explains, that one word captures everything that Jesus came to do for us. To give you spiritual rest and rightness with God. To give you mental, emotional rest. Amen. Everything as it should be in your life is covered with rest. Nothing missing, nothing lacking, nothing broken in your life. All these things captured with that simple R-E-S-T word. He says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." A yoke does what? It joins two animals of the same kind and nature together to pull together. So Jesus, think about what He's saying about His work in your life through salvation when He invites you to be equally yoked together with Him. Jesus has already slipped His neck into the yoke of discipleship, and there is a space beside Him waiting for you and me. He wants to do life together with you so that you can learn walking alongside Him, and that He can teach you not just on Sunday mornings when we're at church together, but that He can teach you all throughout your day, 7 days a week. Doing life together with Him. Doing parenting together with Him. Doing marriage together with Him. Doing finances together with Him. Doing anything and everything that involves you or influences or impacts your life in any way, to do that together with Him. "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." That word "learn" there is manthano in the original language, and it is the root word for which we get the words discipleship, disciple, in the scriptures. Guess what it means? This level of learning means to learn by experience and carries with it the idea of effort on part of the student. So what he's talking about here is put effort on your part to learn from me experientially. Too much of what we know in the body of Christ or know about God and know about His ways in the body of Christ is theoretical. What does that mean? It means we know it in theory, but we've never done anything to test it or to prove it. Are you following me? In our lives. How does the will of God become proven to you? By you doing it and experiencing the results that it will produce on a consistent basis. Somebody who has honored God with their tithe and their finances for years and experienced the results of doing that. Amen. It's like you almost want to beg your friends and family members to do it because you've experienced the results of it. Right? But there are a lot of people listening to me right now in the room online. You know about tithing. You follow what I'm saying? Y'all still with me? Like if you want to have ears to hear a sermon on tithing, you got to have an attitude in your heart that you're going to honor God with your money. Or else you'll have ears to hear, but you won't hear things being said. Doesn't mean the auditory sound waves, whatever, won't enter the auditory nerve. All right, y'all still with me? Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. That word is manthano. It's the word for discipleship. Discipleship then is what? Putting forth an intense effort to learn by experience from the master himself, doing life together with him, walking alongside him, step by step, amen, him teaching you. Take my yoke upon you, learn of me, and you will find rest for your souls. Why for your souls? Now, the easy answer would be because your soul is the part of you that is your mind, your emotions, and your will or your choices, where you think, emote, or feel and make choices, okay? Yes, and that would be accurate. But remember what he said, and here's the pattern. Here's the pattern. Here's the pattern. See, what I have to watch myself on is I think if I can say it enough times and loud enough that that's going to be enough. Amen. Those of you here in the cabinet shop days, I would preach so, now my voice has gotten stronger by reason of use, okay? But I would preach so hard that I couldn't talk the next day. And people who came to church back in those days who hear me now is like, you know, Pastor Mark's really mellowed out, you know. Part of that, I'm just as passionate as I've ever been, but I realize that sometimes the frothing at the mouth part doesn't make any better difference than anything else, right? Because if you don't have a heart for this, how do you have a heart for this? It's like, you know what? I've done finances my way for however old I am right now, and this is where I still am. Maybe it's time to do it God's way. Okay. Now see, if you have that kind of attitude, how about this one? Speaking in tongues. Ooh, speaking in tongues. No, it's not for today. It's not this. You know, again, all right, well, you're not going to, I could teach for the next 6 weeks on speaking in tongues. But as long as the attitude of your heart is, it's not for today. It's not for me. It's not for everybody, whatever. You're not going to hear a thing. You're going to hear a thing. But if you was to have an attitude that says, you know what, I'm not sure about those speaking in tongues, but if it's something good and God has it for me, then I am interested. See, now you can hear. But as long as your attitude is, it's not for today, he's one of them name it and claim it prosperity preachers, and on top of that, he speaks in tongues. Thelma, get your purse. We're getting out of here. I mean, we're not going to wait for him to finish the closing prayer. I'd leave right now if it wouldn't be embarrassing. And I've had people leave just in the middle. Just get up and run. You know what I'm saying? Okay. All right, but so again, I can't teach that. I can't teach that person a thing about those subjects. I could talk until I'm blue in the face and you're tired of hearing. As long as the attitude in your heart is, it's not for me, it's not for today. That was where we started, because as a family, we were taught speaking in tongues is of the devil, right? And so as we started kind of easing into a deeper understanding of these things, notice I said understanding, a different way of looking at these things. How do we look at it before? It's of the devil. So not only do you avoid it, you avoid anybody else that's doing it. Are you following me? I know people, I have pastor friends in this city. They would view coming to this church or another Pentecostal church in this city as being no different than going to like a seance or some meeting with a witch's coven or whatever they do. I don't know. Now that may sound a shock to you, but that's the truth. That, because of their understanding. What does understanding do again? It determines your response. So if you can let the devil lie to you and tell you, that's the it's not for everybody, it's not for today. You know, all these are kind of low level misunderstandings, confusion. But man, if the devil can convince you that speaking in tongues is not from God, but it's of the devil, well, any good little Christian boy or girl or man or woman, right, we're going to stay as far away from anything that's of the devil as possible, except for maybe in the privacy of our own home when nobody's watching what we watch on TV. But that's another story. But anyway, amen.
Praise God.
Are you picking up what I'm putting down? Okay. But so how do we go from it's of the devil to every person in our family speaking in tongues when me and Matt and Meredith still live at home, all that stuff? Is the Lord asked my mother a simple question. Do you not want everything that's from me? And Mama said, well, you know, if it's from you, I want it. But if it's not from you, I don't want anything to do with it. And then we took the bold step. Matter of fact, Mom and Daddy got a babysitter for me and my brother and my sister because they were afraid. Literally, I know this sounds silly now, maybe not to some of you, but they were literally afraid that when they, because the Lord spoke to my mother and said, you got to get your family to a church that believes in the fullness of my spirit. And so when Mom and Dad first went to a Pentecostal church, they got a babysitter because they were literally afraid, concerned that they would expose me and my brother and sister to something that would like affect us or mess us up for the rest of our lives. That's truth, right? Well, then they actually saw and heard somebody speaking in tongues with an open heart towards the possibility of it still being for today. And this is what came out of my mother's mouth. There is no way that can be from the devil. There's no way. It's beautiful. Now, nobody in my family is baptized with the Holy Spirit at this point yet, have spoken in tongues yet. But notice now, so a couple of weeks later, they got really brave and took me and my brother and sister with them to a Sunday afternoon singing. Again, we're easing into this, right? I mean, you know what I'm saying, Vaughn? You kind of put your toe in and try to get acclimated to all this, right? But I shudder to think where I would be today. I'm serious about this. I shudder to think where I would be today if my mom and daddy had ignored what God was, if they hadn't listened carefully to him. Are you seeing this, right? And I'm not proud of this. But here was my response from my first Pentecostal church experience. Are you ready? In tears, begged my mom and dad to never take me back. And here's, thank God for parents who know how to be parents. I had no idea of this till later. But they actually discussed it in private. Because they knew that there was a call of God on my life, and they were like, you know, he doesn't complain about going to church. He's happy there. Thank God my parents weren't trying to be my friend, but did what they were supposed to do as parents in my life when I was too young and immature and ignorant to make those kinds of high-level, high-quality decisions for my life and for my family. Thank God I had two parents who listened to God over what they wanted to do, what they even felt was right, much less what one of their children thought is what we ought to do. Amen. Amen. Brother Keith Moore tells an interesting story. When they first started the church there in Branson, Missouri, he hadn't always been a pastor. He was traveling evangelist, still travels, but he started pastoring. He said he had a wave of people that came to the church, and a lot of them were involved in music, and they were really talented singers and musicians. And so, you know, praise God, we got some people to help us with the worship and the music and all. And they kept bringing all these ideas, what they wanted to do, to Brother Keith and Brother Keith Moore. And he was like, no, I said, I don't, you know, we're not going to do that. And they, some else, well, we're going to do this. And they, no, we're not going to do that. And so finally they just said to him, they said, look, if you're not going to do what we want to do, we're leaving. And listen to this very carefully. He said, now, this is what I'm telling you. See, I heard this because I'm receiving a word of correction. Are you with me? Okay, from the Holy Spirit through him to me on a drive from here to Pleasant Grove. This is what he said to them. He said, I don't even do what I want to do, so why should I do what you want to do? It's about what I want to do or you want to do. It's about what the Lord wants us to do. Are you following me? So why should mom and dad do what I want to do when they're not even doing what they want to do? They're doing what the Lord wants us to do. Are you following this? How do we get here? Praise God. Amen. Y'all still with me? Man, I got a set of notes you could frame and put on the wall, and it's already 11:53, and he looked at them. So it's one of the levels of listening, sympathetic listening, right? Are you feeling me? Not just hearing me, are you feeling me? So I'm trying to get you to see something here, because every time I get in front of you, I'm trying to get you to see something here, right? That's really, see it differently. See it God's way. Do it God's way. Amen. Amen. His ways are spot on 100% of the time. There are people who do all kinds of stuff with an 80% chance of it. You know, it was 80% chance of success. Man, sign me up. God's not an 80% chance of success. He's 100% chance of success. Do it his way. Simple thing. I've never been a pastor before. It's the Saturday night before the first Sunday, June of 1998. And this is what the Lord says. He said, just do my thing. Do it my way and expect my results. That's a simple pattern to follow. Do God's thing. Do it God's way. Expect God's results. And here's the problem. A lot of people try to do God's thing their own way. Who do we think we are? Doing God's thing our own way. When our own way has been our biggest problem. God's thing, God's way, God's result. So there's an attitude of the heart that ultimately determines the difference between an eye that sees, let me say it another way, an eye that can see but doesn't see, an ear that can hear but doesn't hear, a heart that can understand but doesn't understand. And it ultimately boils down to the attitude with which we see, hear, and process our reason. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's do this. Let's at least do this part right here. No, well, come back. Thank you, Holy Spirit. So here's the pattern. Come and I'll give. Learn, and you will find. Okay? I know some of y'all heard me say that 1,000 times, but I'm back to it again. I want you to hear this morning with an attitude in your heart that says, Father, you have good things for me that I haven't experienced yet. You have very important assignments for me. Things that you purposed for me to do for you and others before I was formed in my mother's womb that I don't know anything about yet. that my eyes haven't seen yet, that my heart hasn't understood yet, okay? That's the attitude, because let me just read a couple of verses, then we'll finish that thought and finish for this morning, okay? This is a passage, 1 Timothy 2:4. The context here is that God, He is the one who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. So it's one thing to be saved, it's another thing to come to the knowledge of the truth. I used to see this just exactly backwards. I thought you came to the knowledge of the truth, you got saved. Nope. The amount of truth that you have to understand or receive to be saved compared to all the truth available for us to know and experience, it's eyedropper in the ocean, Heather. I mean, think of all the things you do not have to know about to receive salvation. Okay? And so, I did not have to understand the birds and the bees to be born. But I did have to understand some things in order to have a family of my own one day. And I try to be gentle with that, okay? But you understand what I'm saying here. I may have been a teenager. I don't know. I lived a sheltered life. My mom and dad sheltered us, and I'm thankful for it, okay? But I'd been on planet Earth for quite a few years before I understood how I got here. It's just set that way, okay? But it didn't mean that I wasn't here. Well, I was here. I didn't understand how I got here, but I was here. So that's the same with getting born again. You get born again without understanding Pauline doctrine, and you don't have to know who Moses is. You don't have to know, who Nehemiah or Elijah. It's all this very important stuff to know. You don't have to know the Sermon on the Mount. You don't have to quote, any Bible verses. You don't know any of that, right? Are you following me? All those things are good, but Father God has made it so that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved, because that's what He desires. Jesus did all the work and gave us an entrance into our Father's kingdom. But now that we are born again, if we're going to walk in the full potential of what we've already been given, are you seeing this? Come and I'll give. The world doesn't say it that way. The world says, come on and we'll see if you're good enough for a promotion. Are you following me? Brother in the room this morning is a highly accomplished counselor. Many years of counseling. Just went to work with a new place. But they said, you know what, we're going to start you out doing something different. Right? And we want you to work your way up into the counseling position despite decades of experience counseling. And I'm not trying to tell the person's story. They may not want me to tell that story. But it's the example that comes to mind right now. Right? Because they're wanting him to earn. And we're so indoctrinated into thinking that way that the devil's convinced us that we got to earn all this stuff from God. My brother, my sister, He's given you all things that pertain to life and God's. We go on and on, verse after verse. Have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. So He says, come and I'll give it all to you. Give the kingdom to you. Give my name to you. Give my word to you. Give my spirit to you. Come and I'll give. But then you got to learn to discover these things, to find these things. The devil's worst nightmare is when we begin to look at ourselves and the world around us and our life on planet Earth as men and women who have already been given everything that they need pertaining to life and godliness. It's one thing to know about that verse, 2 Peter 1, right? It's one thing to know about that verse. It's another thing to understand that verse. What does that mean? To see life through the lens of that verse. I don't know if I'm making this plain enough. We need to make it plainer, but we're running out of timer. Amen. Are you still with me this morning? Yes, no, maybe. All right, I want to give you, early years ago, but here's this same verse from the Amplified. God, who wishes all men to be saved and increasingly to perceive and recognize and discern and know precisely and correctly the divine truth. So do you see how a process is implied here? Wishes all men to be saved and increasingly to perceive. Increasingly recognize, meaning more and more, from faith to faith, glory to glory, grace for grace. One level to the next, to the next, to the next. In Philippians 3, he says, to those of you who are mature, whatever you have laid hold of up until this point, walk by the same rule. In other words, let this become the quote-unquote new normal in your life. I've been pastoring a long, long time, okay? You know, when Pam and I, in early years, Pam kept a friend of hers, dear friends of ours. She had triplets, and Pam kept the triplets. Some of you heard me talk about them triplets, amen. When I would go, like, bring Pam lunch over to the house where she was keeping them, three little munchkins would attack my feet because they knew that if they could get my shoes off, that I would stay longer, and they wanted me to stay, right? They're 27 years old now. They just had their 27th birthday. And I'm like, no way. I've been pastoring a long time, and let me tell you what I've seen. I've seen people face crises in their life, in their health, in their marriage, in their family. And they get really, really serious about listening carefully to God. Until God resolves that issue or that crisis for them. They go from can't get to the altar fast enough to never seeing them in the altar again. Again, Father still loves us. But these fits and jumps and stops and starts and ups and downs, all that's immaturity, right? He's wanting us to increasingly perceive and recognize and discern and know precisely and correctly the divine truth. Here it is from the New Living Translation, kind of the opposite end of the translation spectrum. Who wants everyone to be saved and to understand the truth? There's a lot of truth for us to understand. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Stand with me this morning. Wow. Wow. I want to remind you where we ended last Sunday, when I brought a Connect Four game with checkers to my, and I got confirmation from Bethany, my two-year-old grandson. He was two at the time. Connect Four game, little out of his league, not recommended for a two-year-old. But he wasn't intimidated by it. He didn't say, I could never do that, Granddaddy. That's for grown-ups. That's for... No, no. He, remember what he said. He looked at it. He didn't understand it, but this was his attitude of his heart. He said, Granddaddy, you teach me how to do it, and I'll get good at it. You see the attitude, right? There are so many things that the Bible says are your inheritance. So many things that the Bible says you have the potential to do right now for our Father's glory. But we hear about those things and we think, oh, that's not me. That's not me. There's no way I could ever do that. Oh, that's for specially anointed people. That's for Billy Graham's of the world, the Kenneth Copeland's of the world, the T.L. Osborne's of the world. That's for just a very select. I could never win my neighbors to Jesus. I could never. Notice now, not okay, Father. You show me how to do it, and me and Jesus working together with the Holy Spirit, we'll get good at it. Do you see the difference there in the attitude? Okay, then that's the difference between hearing and not hearing, having eyes to see but still not seeing, having ears to hear but still not hearing. Amen. Amen. All right, let me pray for you. Father, we thank you so much for this time together. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your love. Father, we don't come together on a Sunday morning to just hear for the sake of hearing. We don't just come together on Sunday morning to sing for the sake of singing, hoping that Matt, Vanessa, and Daniel will sing one of our favorite songs. No, Father, we come to fellowship with you. We come to worship you. We come believing your word that says you will come and set up a throne in the midst of a group of people who gather together to worship you and to praise you. Father, sermons are not something to be endured. They're not the part of church that we're just going to do our best to stay awake through and get it over with so we can tell people we came and feel good about ourselves and whatever. Lord, we're not here to feel a little bit better about ourselves because we came to church, Father. Because we feel guilty if we miss. No, devil, you're not going to lie to us like that anymore. We come because we believe the Most High God's presence is in this house. We come here to believing that the Most High God speaks to us in this house. We come believing that Father's heart is touched and he is moved emotionally when we come together in his name in this house. We come to this house, Father, not out of religious duty or moral necessity or assuaging a guilty conscience, but Father, we come to this house because you invite us to come. Your arms are open wide. And you know what we're learning, Father. If we will simply give you place in our lives, you can fix what's broken. You can change what seems to be impossible. You can do in a moment with a swipe of a judge's pen what would take someone 100 years and still not accomplish. That's the God we serve. He's the one that invites us to come. Come and he'll give. Learn and you'll find. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Would you mind praying this prayer after me this morning? If in your heart you want everything that God has for you, from that position, that place in your heart, not that you understand everything, not that, it's like, don't start getting nervous, we fix and start making you speak in tongues or something like that. I'm just, again, just take a deep breath and relax. But if in your heart this morning you say, you know what, if God is there and he's got something to help me or something good for me, even if I can't see it yet, I would like that, okay? Then from that attitude, if you can say yes to that, then I want you to say this after me. Father God, you can do better than that. Come on, Father God, I come to you now in the name of Jesus, in his name, Jesus' name, and faith in Jesus' name has given me perfect soundness, spirit, soul, and body. And Father, I ask you to forgive me. I ask you to cleanse me, spirit, soul, and body. Make me a vessel of honor, one fit for use in your house and in your kingdom. Father, I call upon Jesus this morning and I receive for myself everything that he has done for me and freely given to me. I acknowledge every good thing that he has already placed within me. And with your help, Father, and the help of the Holy Spirit and Jesus, I will realize in my life potential all that you have done for me and all that you have given to me. Help me, Father, make a difference for your glory in somebody else's life this week. In Jesus' name, amen and amen and amen. Let me say this. If you're here this morning and you've never received that gift of salvation, that's what you just did, but you need to tell somebody. So tell me or whoever you're with or amen. But praise God. The Bible says you got to confess Jesus before the Father. You got to confess him before men. And so good things coming. Shake somebody's hand, hug somebody's neck, love somebody in Jesus. Thank you for being here this morning. A beautiful crowd. Look forward to seeing every single one of you back on Wednesday night. Amen. Unless you're watching online. We understand some of you don't drive at night, but good things coming for you and yours.